Okay, we're in chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading down here in verse 10, not because we don't believe the part that went before, but we've already read it several times, so we won't go back. Verse 10, it says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any man hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." Now that's where we're going to stop reading, because that's a good place to be reminded of the things that we have been talking about thus far concerning the matter of marriage, and concerning really everything that we do as the sons of God in our daily walk, and decisions that we make, and things that we would give thought to be reminded of this. We're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. We don't have the right to do with ourselves like we want to do. Now that's totally contrary to the natural thinking of man, is it not? Because every man says, "I can do what I want to do." I mean, every young man, when he's growing up, he just can't wait till he can do what he wants to do, and nobody can tell him what to do. I mean, that's just born in us, and that's the way that we are, some more strongly than others, but that is the way that we think. And that's kind of the way this, our nation was founded on that principle. Now, we have got confused over time, and that's all got conglomerated up. And so people today, they want to do their own thing, but they want the government to pay for it. And, so it's an innate thing that a man would do what he wants to do, but that's not the calling of God's people. We're called to be the servants of Christ, and we don't belong to ourselves. He purchased us if we're His. And so it's not up to us to do what we want to do. Now, having that in mind, and remembering the things that Paul has already said concerning the matter of marriage, he gave marriage for the benefit of men. But primarily, the reason that marriage was given to men was to manifest the redemption of the people of God in Christ. For the Lord would use marriage to demonstrate the love that the bridegroom has for the bride. And that is the teaching that Paul gave to the Ephesians, is it not? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so that is the purpose of marriage, is so that might be demonstrated the love of the husband for the wife and the devotion of the wife to the husband. That is the picture. Now, you know, we would have to wonder, well, why on earth would the Lord use fallen and sinful creatures as we are to demonstrate that? Because it pleased him. Because he would show what the ideal is. Now, I don't know of any marriages on earth that are perfect. I've been around a lot of people, but I never met anybody that I've said had a perfect marriage. Now, I have been around people that I thought had good marriages, and I've been around people that I thought had bad marriages. But the thing, that doesn't make any difference about that, because the perfections that the Lord would set forth supersede and override all of the imperfections of men. And so it is that the Lord would show forth that love that he has for his bride, the church of God, the elect of God. And it says here, the wife hath not power over her own body. And that's exactly what he said, wasn't it? We're bought with a price. The wife doesn't have power over body. But look at this. The husband likewise does not have power over his own body, because the Lord Jesus Christ would give himself unto his church. He would give himself for her. And so this is a beautiful picture, and we've been looking at that, and Paul's given some practical advice, in some cases advice, and in some cases commandments that come forth from the Word of God. That's why he sometimes says, I speak this by permission and not by commandment. He's not saying that this is not true, it's just a whim that I came up with, but he's saying this is not specifically commanded in the written Word of God, and so I'm telling you this by permission, not because it's commanded. I'm teaching you this as being a good thing. It is still as true as if it was. For I would that all men were even as myself. So Paul, we know, was not a married man, or at least we don't have any reason to believe that he was. And so he said it would be a good thing if you didn't marry. But it's not a requirement. You don't need to think there's anything wrong with being married or not being married. But he said marriage serves a good purpose. And he says, to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Now, that's a commandment. That's not a, I think this is a, would be a good thing if you'd follow along with this. He said, let not the wife depart from her husband. And vice versa. Let not the husband put away the wife. And if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Now, what's he teaching there? He's teaching that marriage is a contract of mutual love towards one another, and it is that which is to stay intact regardless of what the situation is. You know, in every marriage, they will always stand up there and say, till death do we part. And I think most everybody's got their fingers crossed behind their back, you know, when they say that. But that's a serious thing. And why is that set forth like that? Because that's what God purposed for marriage to demonstrate, that there's nothing that can put this asunder but the sinfulness of men. So let not the wife depart from her husband, but if she should depart. Now, we know that sometimes things happen and things just don't work out, and that's just the way that it is. Now, that's not a good thing.
And it's not for anybody to say, well, it's okay. Now, see, what's happened in our society with the concept of marriage is we've made it okay. Okay, well, you didn't, hold up to what you said you were going to do, and it's okay. We just make out like it never happened. That's not what the Word of God says. That's certainly not for the people of God to have that blasé consideration of it. So let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Now what he's saying there is, don't go off and try to find you another husband or go off and try and find you another wife. Stay married. I mean, that's as simple as you can get it. Now, that's not easy, is it, sometimes? But it's nonetheless what the Scripture says. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Now again, he's saying this in a fashion of saying there is no strict written out command that says this, but I'm telling you what the truth is. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, because this hadn't been written, because the gospel hadn't been set forth and the church gathered. So Paul's telling the church what the Lord is saying here. And he said, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. In other words, if a man and a woman have come together in bonds of matrimony, and one of them becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as happened here in this church, that because this was a pagan society, Paul went in preaching the gospel, the Lord called out his people, and no doubt there were some that were married and who were believers, who became believers, and the wife or the husband didn't believe. And so he says it's not necessary for you to put your wife away because she's not a believer. And vice versa. It's not necessary for the wife to put the husband away because he's not a believer. Now, he does go on to say that there is something important about a believer seeking out a believing wife. He's not saying it's okay to just go out here and just marry up with anybody that you come along with because you like the way they look. No, it's important that we have consideration to what a person is in the Lord. As he says, marry only in the Lord. And so he says here, don't put her away. If the wife believeth not, she be pleased to dwell with him. Let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. It's not necessary to do that. And then he says something that is, I've heard this thing misconstrued and said to teach something that's just totally ridiculous. And not what's being told here. It says here, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Oh my! So if a wife believes, then the husband's sanctified. I mean, he's in the Lord. I've heard people actually have a teaching like that. Same thing as they carry it on with the children. Oh, well, if a believer has children, they're automatically in the kingdom of God. That's not what he's talking about here. But what he's pointing out is that when two people come together and they're married, then it doesn't matter whether or not whether or not both of them are believers in the long run. Because he said the marriage is not made null and void because one's not a believer. The husband's sanctified by the wife's sanctified by the husband. That is, the marriage is still valid. It's still pure. It's still fine in the sight of God. And so there's nothing that would cause a man to say, well, my wife doesn't believe, so I can't stay with her anymore. No, not at all. Because the husband and the wife sanctify one another. And then he says it, and here's the kicker on it. Else were your children unclean. Now are they holy? Now, does he mean that the children, when he says they're holy, is he speaking of that in the absolute sense? Is he saying there that they become believers? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that this is still a valid marriage and the children are legitimate children. Otherwise, you run into the situation where you said, well, my wife wasn't a believer, so this is not even a real marriage. Well, what does that make your children? That makes them not even really legitimate children, does it? But they are legitimate children. And so this relationship is not unholy before God. And then he says this, but if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. He said, if in the case, now this is a specific case, this is not just any whim that somebody comes up with, this is a specific case. He says, if the unbelieving depart. Now what he was just talking about there in the context of what he's saying is that if a believer, if a person becomes a believer, their wife or their husband does not believe, then they are not to leave them. But in the event that this becomes such a great burden to the person who's the unbeliever, who says, look, I can't put up with this Christian mess anymore. I'm going to leave. He said, look, there's not really anything you can do about that. Now, it doesn't mean that he's saying, just say, man, I'm glad to see him go. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He says, let him depart. A brother or sister's not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. We're not to be glad about it. We're in fact to do everything we can to keep that from happening. But if you can't keep that from happening, you can't keep it from happening. And in that extreme event, then a brother or sister's not under bondage. Under bondage of what? Under the bondage of the marriage bond. That bond is broken if they depart for that reason. But don't run out quickly, he said. We've been called to peace. Because who knows? For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? That doesn't mean that the wife has the power to administer eternal salvation to them. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about in a practical way. You might be able to save your marriage. How do you know? If you run off out here just soon as they leave and next week you take up with somebody else and marry them, you know, you've not done the right thing because of this reason right here. How do you know that maybe this, you might not be able to work this out? It may be able to be. We're called to peace, not to war one another. How do you know? O knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. So, I guess one of the main things that we need to take from this is that there are not a lot of rules and regulations that are being placed upon the head of God's people. And it's not up to us to tell somebody what they can do and what they can't do in this matter of marriage. In other words, I can't look down my nose at somebody whose marriage doesn't work out. You know, that's just the way it is. Let every man, as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every man, so let him walk. Now, he had just said, if a man can abide without being married, it's a good thing. But everybody's not given that gift. And it may not be that a man whose wife leaves him because he's a believer and she's not, or vice versa, it may not be that they have the calling and ability to remain in a celibate or a single state. And they may not necessarily feel any bondage or feel condemnation if they should then remarry in that situation. Now, I believe that's what it says here. Now, I know there are some teachers and denominations and whatnot, that they make marriage to be like a bondage over people, and it hangs over the heads of many and causes much grief, it's not to be a thing taken lightly. And we're not never are we to encourage somebody to break a marriage up. There's just no reason to do that. There's never any reason to encourage someone. I know, you know, a lot of these supposed psychologists and whatnot, you know, they tell people, oh, well, the best thing for you to do is leave your wife or leave your husband. No, that's not what the Scripture's saying here. It's never a good thing to do that. It's never a thing that is just a wonderful thing. But sometimes it does happen. And if it happens according to what the circumstances are here, then a brother or a sister is not in bondage in such cases. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. And then he's using this. Now he's using another line of thought here, but he's not left the matter of marriage. He's just illustrating a point. He's saying, is any man called being circumcised? Is a man called being a Jew? If a man's a Jew when he's called by the Lord, then don't let him become uncircumcised. Now, that would be a difficult thing to do, but he's just using that as a rhetorical argument here. He said, if a man's a Jew, don't let him become a non-Jew. If a man is, he says here, if is any called in uncircumcision, that is, if a man is not a Jew, don't let him become a Jew. It doesn't make any difference if you are a Jew or not a Jew. It says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Because circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. It doesn't make a difference if you're a Jew or a non-Jew. In one sense, you could say it doesn't make a difference if you're a believer or an unbeliever. It doesn't change the truth of God. So what he's saying here is, you can't overturn the commandments of God simply because you are one thing or you are another. But if you are called being a Jew, then be a Jew. I mean, you don't have to change from being a Jew, but you don't have to change from being a Gentile, because it don't make any difference about that. Let every man abide in the same calling where he was called. Now, going back to that very same language that he used about being married. You know, a man, unless a man must be married, then he doesn't need to go out and think that he has to be married to satisfy society or to satisfy somebody else. Let him do what he wills according to the calling that he's given. Are you called being a servant? Care not for it. Are you, of course, in these days, men were still in places of servitude. And, of course, one of the books of the Bible, Philemon, is written about a man who was a servant, and he departed. He was an unprofitable servant. He departed from his master, and Paul got with him. And Paul didn't tell him, well, man, you're free. Just, you know, you've run off from your master, and you just need to live in freedom. No. What did Paul tell him? He said, you need to go back. Now, that's kind of a hard thing, is it not? Now, I believe slavery in any form is a bad thing. I mean, when men enslave other men, that's not a good thing. And when we had slavery in this country, it was not a good thing. I mean, just from a natural standpoint, it wasn't a good thing, but from a spiritual standpoint, it was even worse. But, having said that, if a man was called to be, if he's born into slavery, what Paul's saying here, hey, Your relationship to the Lord is not dependent on whether or not you're a slave or not. That doesn't make any difference. He said, if a man is a slave, art thou called being a servant? Don't make a big deal out of it. But if thou mayest be free, use it. If you've been set free from being a slave, you don't have to stay a slave all your life because you've been called into slavery. But if you are able to be free through whatever means the Lord puts at your disposal, and of course in those days, it was generally economic slavery that people got in, just like today, isn't it? We just don't call it that. It's called borrowing money. But it's really about the same thing. You know, you become a slave to somebody. Well, can you just go off and not pay your bill? No. I mean, if you borrowed the money, guess what? You owe the money. And so, same thing as what he's saying here about slavery. If that's what you are, that's what you are. And it doesn't make any difference whether or not you are or not. But if you are able to be free, then don't just use that place for you to consume your life upon your own lust because you're free. No, serve the Lord. Use that time wisely. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. See, a man, even if he's in bondage, even if he's a slave, even if someone mistreats him as a slave or as an employee, guess what? He said, abide in it. Because this is the mindset that you need to have. Even though you're in bondage, you're free in the Lord. And then he says, likewise, he that's called being free is Christ's servant. So you're free and you're a servant in either case. Doesn't make any difference. And so these external situations that people find themselves in, it doesn't change our relationship to the Lord. That is called being free as Christ's servant. Because why? What does he come back to? Because you're bought with a price. You see, even if you're free, you're really bought. It's just like you were taken down to the slave market and put up on a pedestal. The Lord Jesus Christ outbid everybody for you. You belong to Him. You're His servant. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress or the troubles that we find ourselves in. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Now this is kind of a hard passage to understand because it's kind of an antiquated way of speaking about things. And I think it's pretty clear contextually what he's talking about. And he's talking about, when he's speaking about virgins, he's talking about those who've never been married. He said it's not necessary for you to be married. He's reiterating that. And he says, I don't have a commandment. I'm not telling you not to be married. But he said here, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful, that it would be a good thing, especially in the present distress, that is in the troubles that have come upon the church, which there were many in those days, persecution. He said you'd be better off if you weren't in a married state. And we have to keep that in mind in the context in which he's giving this. Yeah, I say that it is good for a man so to be. That is not to be married. That's a good thing. In that case, art thou bound unto a wife? Don't seek to get rid of her. If you're called in that state, don't try to get rid of your wife. And if you are loose from a wife. That is, if you are either haven't been married or you have been married and your wife's left you. He said, don't seek a wife. He said, because the times are not good for that. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Now, he's giving them advice, and he's saying, look, I'm not commanding you this. I'm telling you from my own judgment what would be best. But he said, don't think that if you do not abide, as I'm saying, don't seek a wife, then you have not sinned. And he says, if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. That is, if a young woman or a young man desires to be married, they have not sinned. There's nothing wrong with that. And especially even in the context in which he gives it. He says, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Now, the simple answer to that is that he's saying, when you are married, you're going to have some more difficulties that you're not counting on when you're single. A young man, he's looking to get married because he thinks that's just going to be the answer to his ever problem. And the young woman, she's thinking the same thing. But, it doesn't always work out like that. And there's never anybody that's been married that hadn't woke up one morning and said, why in the world did I ever do that? that's just the way it is. And so he's saying that in very plain language. He said, look, I'm just telling you, I'm not commanding you this, but I'm telling you, you need to be mindful that when men and women come together in marriage, it is a difficult thing. And young people are thinking about getting married, it's just, they can't imagine that that would ever be the case with them. Because, they just love one another so much, and they just want to be around one another all the time. And, it's like the old fellow said. He said when him and his wife were first married, he says he could eat her up. And he said about a year later, he wished he had. Now but that's just a reality. And that's what Paul said. Look, you're going to have some troubles. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. He said, you can't be concerned about all these things that are going on in the world, because you need to have your mind set on the things that are important. Now, he's specifically speaking to them in this time period in which they were. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Everything that is in this world is one day going to be gone. It's not going to last. And that's hard for us to grasp, but it's nonetheless true. So use the world. Nothing wrong with the world. The Lord put us in the world. And He certainly hadn't called on us to try to get out of the world. But to live in the world, but to use the world in a fashion that we don't abuse the world. And I would have you without carefulness. That is, not to be weighed down with troubles and problems that would keep you from walking with the Lord in purity, in your mind being stayed on Him, and seeking out those things that are for His glory. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. Now, he's speaking about a man who is, or a woman, who is not married, who wants to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are not encumbered with the marriage bonds and all the problems and things that go along with that. Now, surely they're missing out on the blessings that come with it. I don't want to paint the wrong picture here, because there's great blessing in being married as well as great troubles from time to time. But he's saying here that he would desire. Now this is, he's speaking here to them, not by commandment, but by permission. He's saying, I would rather you weren't cumbered down with all of these cares and troubles that come along. He that's unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. That's his, if he's a believer and his desire is to follow the Lord, he doesn't have to wonder if what he's going to do is going to satisfy somebody else. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. An unmarried woman and a woman who's married. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married care for the things of this world, how she may please her husband. Now, there's not a thing in the world wrong with that. And that's the whole point of what he's making. It's not wrong for a wife to desire to please her husband, and it is not wrong for a husband to desire to please his wife. In fact, if you are married, that's what you should be doing. I mean, that's just what it is. But the whole point of what he's saying is that the better way is not to be encumbered these things from that, in that respect. And I think that, again, a lot of this had to do with the particular situation they were in, rather than perhaps, he would say, in our case. You know, in the case of we're not persecuted per se, and having, you know, to worry. I mean, you know, if you're in a situation, and of course you see this in movies a lot of times, where somebody's in danger, and if they've got, they're always trying to do what they can do to save their loved ones, you know. I mean, they could just run and get away from everything and everything would be okay, but if they got people that they love, then they're going to try to do what they can to help them, which is only right. Of course they would. You know, nothing wrong with that. So what he's saying here is that the benefit to not being married is you don't have that, you know, it's like when you, you know, if a bear is chasing you and you don't have to, and you got two or three people with you, you don't have to be able necessarily to outrun the bear. All you got to be able to do is outrun the person, one of the other people. Because whoever the bear gets, that's the one he's going to devour. So you can, in that respect, well, so thinking of that in that light is kind of what he's saying here. You can be concerned about yourself and doing the things that the Lord would have you to do. Now, the unmarried woman care for the things, Lord, how she may please her husband. That's a good thing. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that is, which is right, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Because that's really where we are in our marriages. We need to seek by the grace of God to cultivate a situation where we can serve the Lord without distractions. Now, there are going to be distractions. But believing husbands and believing wives should be seeking to make their lives as distraction-free as they can. Just so they won't have trouble? No. So that they might devote themselves to seeking the things of God. That's the whole purpose of what Paul's saying here. But if a man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Now there's a lot of different interpretations of this. And basically, I like to make things just simple. Basically, he's just saying the exact same thing that he's already said. He said, if a man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin. Now, there's two primary ways in which this is looked at. Is that is, if a man is betrothed or engaged to a woman, And, you know, it's time that they got married. I mean, they put it off long enough. It's okay. You know, it says, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, letting them marry. Go ahead and marry. Don't agonize over the thing. I mean, go ahead. It's fine. Not a problem there. Or, same thing, if a man, another, the other way that this is looked at is talking about the personal state that a man is in. A man, when he's saying here in this language, if a man behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, that is his own virginity. That is, he's not been married. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. And need so require. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, not having a necessity. That is, if the man has no necessity. Now, not because he just decides he doesn't have a necessity. Because the necessity will catch up with him if he's not careful. Because that's not what he's saying here. If indeed he has no need to be married. Remember what he said up here? In the beginning of the thing, he said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. To avoid sexual impurity, that is sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage, let every husband have his wife and every wife have her own husband. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. He didn't say anything different than he said to start with. He said it's better. He said that when he started off the chapter, he said it's better if you marry than it is, or better for you to stay single than it is to get married, to abide even as I. But if you can't do that, that's fine. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. And look at what he says, only in the Lord. That is, she doesn't need, if a man and a woman, if one or the other of them dies, then there's certainly nothing wrong with them seeking out another husband or another wife. But there is something wrong with seeking out a husband or a wife among those who believe not. Because that's a different situation, is it not, than if you came to know the Lord after you were already married. He said you are counseled to do this. But she's happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So he said, if she doesn't need to get married, or the man doesn't need to get married, who's been married, his husband or his wife died, then that's a good thing if they abide unmarried after his judgment. And he says, I think I'm telling you the truth of God. That is, what he said is consistent from the beginning of this chapter to the end of it. It's not complex. Man makes it complex because it's not always what we want it to say. I mean, you know, man, the Pharisees, the Lord upbraided the Pharisees. He said, the Lord said, you know, let a man and a woman become one flesh. He said that's the way it's been from the beginning. He said, but Moses gave permission for divorce, but what you've done, speaking to the Pharisees, he says you've come along and said it's a good thing. And he says you said, well, if the woman doesn't please you, just put her aside for any reason. He said, I tell you, that's not right. Because you don't have a reason to do it. And, you know, men would seek out reasons. And men want to have reasons, don't we? I mean, we want to have a reason that we can, if we come along the road and our wife maybe has not been as kind to us as we'd like for her to be, and we find someone else whom we think might be nicer to us or whatever, and we say, well, you know, I'll get rid of this one and get me another wife. That's wickedness. Man can't do that. I mean, according to what Scripture said. Let not the wife depart from the husband. Let not the husband depart from the wife. But in all things, remember this. Whether you're married or whether you're not married, whether you're seeking to be married or whether you don't want to ever be married, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever before the Lord, because you're bought with a price. Seek those things that are above, not those things that are of the earth. And may the Lord give us grace to be always reminded that marriage is the picture of the love that Christ has for His church. And if anybody, I've said this before and I'll say it again, if anybody had reason to divorce his wife, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if anybody had reason to divorce, she's been unfaithful to him. She's been unkind. She's been disobedient. She's had no concern for the things that he said. But you know what Scripture says? That he has loved her with an everlasting love. And he's been faithful to her every day because of the great love wherewith he loved her. And such is the picture of marriage. And anything other than that is contrary to it. It don't make a difference what men want to say or do or whatever. They can't change that, because God has set forth the perfect example of what marriage is. May the Lord help us.